good. It's good to think about those words and sing those words. I'm going to be in Psalms tonight, and so a lot of things to say before I get to my message about the message, I guess. Let's do Psalm 51, and we have some other things to turn to. One of the things you find is you study the Bible that as you study the Bible, you just study it, and not things about it, but just the Bible. You say with the psalmist, "I stand in awe of your word," and you're amazed, and just the Bible. And one of the things is when I preach is there's so much in the Bible, and the more you get to know the Bible, you realize you here's a door, here's what it says, and you walk in that, you open the door, and you walk inside, and that's where you start. That's the basic truth. And God loves me, and there is a God, and Jesus died on the cross, and just things in the Bible, and those are wonderful things. But as you get inside and you start studying a little bit inside each one of those doors, you see about 20 doors. You say, "Wow, there's so much in the Bible." And then you get inside one of those, you open one of those doors and walk through it, and you find out there's more in there, and it's infinite. And the Bible's like that. And so many times I get into a message, and I say, "Okay, Lord, I was going to preach on this," but keeping it in those realms, even with our church's attention level, is tough for me, and so we need to go into another 2-hour sermon sometimes, but we push it, and do that, and so I find a truth like this one is I'm going to give you a truth, but then your mind might ask, "Well, how do I do that?" And this message isn't that, okay? And remember the old movies where there's an intermission, okay? We need that so I can go to the intermission. So I'm just going to hit one point of how to do this. I want to talk about healing a wounded soul, and I'm not going to teach you how to do it as much as just that it can be done. And let's start at Psalm 51 and verse 8. It says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we pray you'd help us tonight to heal and to learn about healing, Father, and about how you can do it. And in a society of wounded souls, Lord, we need your help in this, Father, and I pray you'd help us and do mighty, mighty, mighty works, Lord. And we need you to do that tonight. We need you to speak to us tonight. And then we need you to do that work in our hearts and minds and begin that, Father, and do great works, Lord. And we call unto you. We look to you. We look to your word. We're here tonight not to hear a man's idea of how to do something, but to hear from your word. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, in a great way, and that thy spirit would just be in this room in a prevalent way. And may we get what we need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Been in ministry long enough now to watch phases go through in society and things. And it used to drive me crazy just having grown up wounded and then in my soul. And then just start working with wounded people after, God had healed me. And watched. I watched people begin to go in mass to the psychiatrists and psychologists and such and therapists and go to those people, and they used to do so much more damage than good. Okay, what they'd always do is and I'm going to say 15 years ago and backward, all that they did is go back to your wound and back to your wound. Let's talk about that. How did you feel? Now, last week you talked about when you were abused by your parents. And then they'd find things that you didn't know about, and all these things they used to find, all those things that might not even happen, but you think it might have happened, and that's why you're like you are. And they just would just keep on opening up the wound that had started to heal and open it up again and open it up again. And it just was awful for people. It was just terrible for people. All it did is make people feel better about being a failure. That's all it did. And let them be a victim. Well, now, I mean, psychology and psychiatry, it's completely changed. Now it's really simple. And it's not as bad. You're going to say, that's terrible, Pastor. But it's not as bad. Now what they do is they label you and drug you. It's not nearly so complicated. You're this, here's this. You're this, here's this. You're this, here's this. You're this, swallow this. You're this, drink this. You're this, take this. That's all they do. They give you a label, they spill you up, and you're numb, you don't feel anymore. And so they do that. That's what it is nowadays. That's not nearly as harmful as going back and spending dwelling time over every session about why you're wounded. People are stunned. And by the way, I am not for label and drugging that they do nowadays, okay? That's just standard procedure. That's just rubber stamp they do nowadays. And I've got articles all about it, how that literally mainstream articles, how they caught the APA, American Psychiatric Association, being paid off by the pharmaceuticals to advise people to treat them that way and not by counseling and such. And anyway, another subject. That's another subject. And that's not even my tangent. I'm on a tangent off a tangent. And but that is better than just going. People can heal. It's amazing how people can heal. If they aren't living in the past, and if nobody tells them that they can't heal. It's amazing how they can heal if they don't have those things. And heal in their mind, heal in their soul, heal in their spirit. Children are unbelievably resilient until somebody tells them they're messed up. Kids, I mean, if you read history, you would be amazed at some of the greatest people who shook the world, what their parents were like and how they're abandoned and how they, I mean, it's unbelievable. These people who are just, their parents were this, their dad killed their mom and then their dad killed himself. And then the kid went off at 8 years old and had to work in factories. Then he became the head of the railroad. I mean, it's amazing what they did. And before they were told you can't do that stuff because you're wounded, messed up and hurt and you can never be normal. And people are amazingly resilient, but they've got to realize that not only is there the ability, but God helps us to be healed in our souls. David is talking here about how hurt he was, how messed up he was by his own actions, by his own fault. This is his penitent psalm after committing adultery and murder and all those things. And he did bad, and literally a lot of people died. I can't remember how many people died, 70,000 maybe? Died in the plague, and his baby died after he didn't repent, and all these things happened, and then the plague came upon the nation, and just bad thing. I'm sorry, his child died. He repented. He got right. It was a different situation where he had the plague come across the nation, but David had just a wound in his soul. He was hurt, and he used the phrase blood guiltiness. It's a pretty bad phrase. I'm guilty of blood, and many things. We find healing a lot in the Bible. We'll get back to these passages here in a while. Let me just give you a few of these things, how Jesus came to heal people in their souls and not just in their bodies, although he did their bodies. I'm going to read Acts 10, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. It says this, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, not just all that were sick, but all who are oppressed with the devil. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Luke 4:18, you can see it pretty clearly when Jesus reads Isaiah 61. And he says, the Spirit of God of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Okay, that's simple and straightforward. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's healing wounded people. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so let's go back to Psalm 51. We see that Jesus heals, and he heals wounded souls, those that are brokenhearted, those that are messed up. And boy, there's a lot of wounds out there, a lot of wounded souls. Let's go to here in Psalm 51. First thing I want to see is God can heal us from the guilt of sin. From the guilt of sin. Psalm 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. course, he probably got that from Isaiah, you know, that God gave him the other scripture that wasn't even around yet. And though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow and white as wool. God washes you completely clean. You ever seen when somebody tried to erase something and didn't really erase? Chalkboard, whiteboard, something like that. Graffiti. God's forgiveness is not like that. It's whiter than snow. And David said, here's a murderer speaking. God said, you murdered Uriah, an adulterer, and all these things. And he says, if you'll wash me, God, I will be whiter than snow. That's what he says. It's pretty powerful. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. He's saying, you know what? God will heal me from the wound of sin. Let's go back to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He knows God's mad at him. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone out over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. See all the wounds he has from sin? Listen, when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, sin looks so glorious. And if you're foolish enough to go try it, when you're 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, you say, good night, this affected me. Man, this wounded me. Man, I wish you wouldn't have done that. And it sin wounds you. Sin makes you wince 20 years later. Sin wounds your soul. People make a light of it. The media and the entertainment industry act like it's always fun. They never show the end of sin. They always show you the happiness of sin, the pleasure of sin that lasts for a season, the Bible says. But let me tell you, sin wounds your soul. And sin, it can be healed. Sin can be washed away whiter than snow. People who've done terrible, awful, awful things, and there's so many great testimonies and so many great trophies of God's grace, who are so bad, and yet God healed the wound of sin when people came to Christ and confessed their sin and just got right with the Lord, and they began to go forward from there. God healed them, and it turned the power of sin and all the darkness and all the wound where they thought they'd never get over it, and they thought that God never loved them again, turned to someone who's weeping at Jesus' feet and washing his feet with the tears and hair because she loves much. Why? God healed her soul from sin. See, God is able to heal us from the wounds of sin. It's a strange thing that people want to go back and do. There's two types of Christians. There's those Christians who rejoice in the goodness of God and go forward in amazing and write amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved wretch like me, and rejoice in God's forgiveness and let God use them again. And there's those who continue to look back at their sin and say, no, I can't be forgiven, and just dwell on it and dwell on it. And they show a lack of faith in the power of God's forgiveness and the power of the cross, and they do not get healed from the wounds of sin because they stay there. They stay there. Listen, go to the doctor. You got stitches. You got a big cut, and it hasn't been stitched up yet, and you're looking at that cut, and you're sitting, oh, man, this is terrible. Oh, listen, go to the doctor and get it stitched up and move on. Don't stare at it all day. Go get it treated. Okay? And you get healed from the guilt of sin. God forgives. Come, let us reason together. Your sins be as scarlet as white as snow, red like crimson, white as wool. He says, you know, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, accepted him as Savior, and confess what they did, they are clean as far as the east is from the west. so far as he removed our transgression. Quit letting the curse of sin ruin your life when it's already gone in God's sight. Healed from the guilt of sin. Number two, what can God heal us? He can heal us from the wounds of sin. Let's look at Psalm 51 again. We talk about the guilt of sin, but from the wounds of sin. Look at verse 8. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness of the bones which thou hast broken. May rejoice. It says, bones that thou hast broken. Who did he say broke the bones? God. I want to say, there is punishment for sin. God. David was, now we don't have a Bible record of God breaking David's bones. I want to say is, if you've done wrong, if come under great conviction, and your actions have caused harm, let me tell you, it's crushing. But he says, these bones which you have broken, when you cleanse me, they'll rejoice again. Listen, sin wounds us physically. Sin brings wounds in our soul. Now, there's a guilt that we live with that we don't need to live with, but there's also wounds from sin. You know, it's an amazing thing. David and Bathsheba committed this terrible adultery and everything, but God, in the end, took David and Bathsheba and made Solomon. And the Bible says the Lord loves Solomon. Now, God loves everybody, but God, I'm just noting this. The Lord loves Solomon. Solomon wrote several books of the Bible. Wow, what a great, great sign of the grace of God that he took all the wounds of sin and used that man and woman to bring forth the wisest man who ever lived. And nobody ever had wisdom like Solomon. Why? Because God can heal the wounds of sin. Somebody has a child, and I don't like the term illegitimate. I understand it was wicked and immoral act, and it was wrong. But listen, God can take any child and make him important and great and wonderful. And God can take a child who wasn't supposed to be there because the parents weren't like me, and use them anyway, and make a plan for them, and do mighty things with them. And God can do those things, and God's good, and God can heal us from the wounds of sin. You have this past you think ruined your life, and because you messed up, you can never have a good life. You haven't read your Bible too much, or you don't believe it. One of those two. Because God uses, it's always God has sinners to use, but a bunch of people messed up a bunch of things, and God used them anyway. Amen. God used them anyway. The Lord, I know it messed up and you may have ruined some things and lost some opportunities, but you know anybody who repent and come to God and say, God, use me again. He says, hey, the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The very bones which are broken. Look at, continue on in this passage. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. A renew a right spirit within me. Listen, his spirit was wrong. He lost the joy of his salvation. The next verse, he sin did a bunch of things. It may have even ruined his health. He lost his joy. It ruined his spirit. He got a bitter spirit. Let me tell you, you talk about what sin does. It ruins your spirit. You can see someone who had a good spirit and get a bad spirit. You might not know which sin it was, but it's sin. Sin ruins spirits. Now, you can go ahead and say, well, that's just the way I was brought up. Yes, you got wounded as a child by a bad family. Now, get healed. Well, it's just the way I am. Well, we can fix it. Time to grow. Time to heal. Time to get better. Listen, I was... I was laughing so hard, Brother Roman White told me something. He said, you know, you ever notice there's nobody in the third world who's OCD? You know why? Because they have to go kill a chicken and strangle it and twist its neck and pluck the feathers off, and they can't wash their hands all the time while they're going and cutting the guts out. And you know, you can't wash your hands 37 times during that process. You don't have good water. You know, they just... When you decide you have to do something, it's amazing how you overcome and do it. People without legs run marathons and people... Listen, you can do amazing things when you just decide you're not going to be a victim. Just, listen, please, understand. If you're going to come to me and say you have a wound and I'm going to tell you the solution and tell you need to go do these things anyway and do right anyway, and you're going to say you can't, don't expect me to be sympathetic and say, okay, fine, you can't. Just, you know, it's fine, you're a failure and you're going to have a miserable life and you can live terrible the rest of your life. It's not going to happen with me. I've seen too many people change and become wonderful and conquer whatever it was they say they had to be. I usually, God just takes me and throws me in the water and says, swim in these things. Just, you know what? You got to figure this out. And you know what? That's the best way I do it. But you just got to, you got to say, I got to heal. Cannot say, I just got to, I'm going to stay here. Like, no. Why do you want to stay miserable? I don't understand. I must be much more selfish than you. And why do you want to brag about everybody about your misery? My parents left me and abandoned me. Now I have these real trust issues. I don't trust anybody, and so I can't have any good relationships. You sound like you're glorying in that. Okay, learn to trust. Get close to God. Trust Him first. Then He'll teach you how to trust other people and trust good people. I just can't trust ever again. Okay, you'll never have a happy marriage. You'll never be a happy parent. You will never have good relationships. Have a great day. What are you thinking? I don't understand. Why do you want to be miserable and glorying and say you can never change? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. And you just stop. There's healing from the wounds of sin. You can be affectionate, though your parent, though somebody messed with. Stop. Just heal. God can heal you. Say, Lord, I messed up. This is hard for me. And then you start fixing it. And you start going forward. And you ask God to help you. And you confess whatever sins you have. And you move on. He lost the joy of his salvation. But he said, Lord, if you give me the joy of my salvation back, I'll go teach sinners your ways. And sinners shall be converted unto you. He said, let's go do something. You get me right, I'll be used by you. Next, heal from the loss of influence. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. He lost the power to influence people because of his sin. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I'm weeping now, but if you'll fix me, I will go and praise you and reach people and influence people. You lose influence through sin, but God can heal you from that loss of influence and use you in a great way. Next, healing from fear. Healing from fear. Let me go to, did we read Psalm 30 yet? I don't think we did. Let's go to Psalm 30. Not going to believe this. I have too many verses. And so Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Read the whole chapter. Just get how messed up this guy is, and just kind of get how sin brings you into fear. Okay? I will exalt thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks in remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Ha ha ha. Lord, by thy favor, that's in the deep, deep Hebrew. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cry unto thee, O Lord, unto thee I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, O Lord. Be my helper, for thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. God will heal you to give him glory from your darkness, from your sackcloth, from your fear, to rejoicing. Because God can do that. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isaiah 41, There's a lot of verses in the Bible about God healing you from the fear and from the worries. The beautiful verses in Isaiah 41 and verses 10 and forward through, I think, verse 13. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that be incensed against me, thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that are contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, hold thy right hand." By the way, you say, well, that's them. This was a wicked people under the judgment of God. And he says, I can heal you and fix you. I will... verse 13, Isaiah 41, 13, "For I, the Lord, am the Lord thy God, I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff." I says, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you mighty. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll hold your hand. Healing from fear. This is versus a false hope that the world gives. Let me take you to Jeremiah and chapter 8. There is a false healing that says, oh, and this is really common. This is what people love to tell you, the wrong kind of friends. They say, oh, no, it's okay, you're fine. God's not mad at you. You're in when God is mad at you. You're going to be fine when you're doing a wrong action. You know what? It's going to turn out okay when you're not doing the right thing to get it to turn out okay. This false security and the false healing of telling you what you want to hear that's going on in so many churches. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11. Scary verse. "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace." Listen, there is a healing with God in repentance, in getting the blessing of the Lord. But these people in Jeremiah were saying, no, God's not going to judge us. No, the Babylon's not coming. No, it's going to be fine. And he said, you've healed, you may not feel better, but they're not better. You're a doctor who said, no, you don't have cancer. And you do have cancer and need to get treated. See, there's false healing that is not real. It's telling yourself things. It's lying to yourself. It's justifying your sin and talking yourself into it. It's blaming somebody else so it's okay you're bitter. It's looking at somebody else's sin and saying your sin's not as bad as theirs, so you're okay. How we doing? Amen. I'm healing you. It's good. Now, my split second, how to heal yourself, just because I can't do, I always got to do how to, just briefly, from confession. Let's go back to Psalms. Just two things I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you all the ways to heal, but I'm just going to give you a couple things real quick that heal your soul. I've seen people who are so messed up. There are people right now, I'm having so much fun watching certain people in our church right now who came in so burdened and wounded, and they are so happy now. And just having so much fun I have so much fun watching souls get healed. It is such a, God is so amazing. And to watch a soul with wounds and scars and hurts and wounds. Listen, and you might still have a scar. But you know, scars aren't that bad. Girls like them. And scars are not that bad. And I show my kids my scars. I got like 37 scars on my left hand because I use knives with my right hand. And you have little scars, but those scars don't affect your life. These are the stories to lie to your kids about. And it's not that bad. God does great things and makes people so blessed. Just confess your sin. Just get it done. Psalm 38, this is a person under the heavy burden of sin. We could read the whole chapter. You can do it on your own if you want. But look at verse 18. It says, "For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." Psalm 51, "Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified in thy judges." Now, I'm going to read it. I have the whole chapter memorized, and it's now I have to quote it. "Thou mightest be clear when thou justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest." Verse 4. He says, "I against thee, the only have I sinned." Good to confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Just to be honest. Listen, I want to say just a good old fashioned confession to God. Not behind some guy in the booth, on the other side of the booth. That guy needs to absolve, he can't absolve his own sins, let alone yours. Okay? Confessing it to God. Tell him what you did. Be honest about it. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit saying your mommy, daddy, brother, sister, and uncle. Just say, "Lord, I've sinned. I shouldn't have done this. And I chose to do my part in this." You know what? That's how you start healing. Just honesty. Just honesty. God forgives you. Second thing is, you be around people who know how to heal. And I won't really elaborate on that a lot, but I'm just going to take it to Proverbs. So just people who know how to speak healing, how to talk to you. There are people who try to get you to be healed and get better. And there's people who like to stir you up in your sin and make you happy there and stir it up and make it worse. Proverbs 12, and just a couple of verses here. Verse 18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise healeth." Is health, I'm sorry. The tongue of wise is health. And then 16:24. "Pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." There's just a certain kind of people who help you get better. Now, there's the false people who tell you what you want to hear that's not good for you. There's also people who are harsh and mean and judgmental in what they tell you when they tell you what you're doing wrong, and both those wound and mess you up. People who tell you speak the truth in love and tell you that you have hope in God, you get around people who help heal you. People who tell you the truth and people who help you go forward, that's what you want. And where you get and go to a church where you get better and those things. Last thing I want to say, and just a general point, there will be an eternal complete healing when Jesus comes. Everything needs healed. Every rock, every animal, every person, everything in nature, every star, the whole universe is dying. It's deteriorating. It all needs healed. The whole creation groaneth in pain and sorrow, waiting for the redemption. Why? They all know this world's cursed. It got cursed in Genesis 3 at the fall of man, and the ground began to be different, and the sweat of the brow, it began to be hard to get an increase, and everything began to die. Let's take just a couple of verses. Malachi chapter Malachi chapter 4, way at the end of the Old Testament there. Verse 1 through 3, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day I shall do this thing, saith the Lord of hosts." Healing in his wings. God's going to heal the world. Revelation, and at the very end of the Bible, just a couple verses there. Revelation 21. Now let's do 22 first. Revelation 22:2. "And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there were trees of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her increase every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse." God heals everything when Jesus comes. Revelation 21. And verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these things words are true and faithful." We have two of our vans right now that are, well, they are beginning to give up the ghost. And I just know cars, and they are starting to nickel and dime us to death. And I could just feel they're just, you know what I'm talking about? You just, time to go. And I could just tell that, you know, we could keep fixing them, but you know, and keep them running. You can keep any car running forever. Just keep putting engines and transmissions and tie rod ends and axles, and you just keep putting them in. The steering wheel will last forever, and you can keep on doing that. But you know, it's a time we just got to get a different car, and you know, it'd be nice when God heals the world. It's a messed up world. I was laughing. Today I looked at the news, and it was like the first six were about the first six things on the news. Just dunk, 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 dunk. I looked at were a murder of some sort. Which is terrible news, you know. It never said they dug a new well in Zimbabwe. It's never on the news, okay? It's not. That's not the way it works. It's always the terrible things and what's going wrong and what riots. And by the way, you know the media is stirring people up right now to riot. If you can't see that, you're blind, okay? They're doing this, and that's just what it is. Listen, this world needs healed. Amen. I think God is going to get healed. But you know, in the meantime, the wonderful thing is people get healed from God. And physical healings are great and wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. But we're talking wounded souls. Doctors can do surgeries, and there's all, and that's fine. Praise the Lord. We can go and we can get a heart transplant. I mean, there's amazing what we can replace, and what we can change. It's incredible. However, you know, wounded souls, man, it's hard to fix those. But Jesus Christ can fix those souls. And you know what? You can be fixed. Just got to be close to Jesus. He just has a way. He just has a way to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus said, "I've been sent to do this." You know, it's great. We're in the middle. You know, I'm so glad that God put me here in the middle of Broken Heartville and put this church right here on Pack Highway, in the area with the most antidepressants of anywhere in the world. Okay? I'm so glad we can. And so many people have been through bad marriages, and so many people have, kids hate them, or they hate their kids, or they're this, that. I mean, just bitter, hurt, wounded souls. And to watch burdened, wounded, hurt, hopeless people, and then people who just have a couple scars from their past, all of them, just be healed, to be joyful people, and have great lives. That's an amazing God. The Lord's amazing, and he heals. And he can fix those bones. The bones which I was broken may rejoice. And sinners be converted unto you. I'll speak, and I'll tell about you, and I'll give you glory. Just fix the wounds that I received from my sin. That's a good thing. We can get, healing the wounded soul is something God loves to do. And the woes of the devil is ruined, God can heal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word, and I thank you we can be new creatures in Christ. Thank you we can have joyful lives, victorious lives. We can just confess our sins and get close to you and draw near to you, and there's healings in your wings when he rests under the shadow of them. Lord, I pray that we would be healed. Bitterness, anger, fear, insecurities, all kinds of things, Lord. I pray that the wounded souls, souls that live in the guilt of their past and their sin, they just can't seem to believe you, Father. Whatever the wounds are, Lord, may today we realize we're washed white as snow, and you can make and turn our mourning into dancing. Thank you for your word that teaches us this in many places. May we believe it. May we act on it and go forward and not back. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.